Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and we welcome you in here tonight with us. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to go right back into the scriptures. Just as soon as we make this short announcement, we will be in Passover in Andrews, North Carolina on May the 25th, beginning on the evening of the 25th. Old-fashioned foot washing, communion. And we will then begin our Passover the next day, and we will be in a fellowship for the 8 days in Andrews, North Carolina. We welcome you to come if you are of the stock of Israel, and you'd like to learn about the Passover and the fellowship and the joys and the altars and things of this nature that we build. You'll get to see an old-fashioned altar built in the mountains of western North Carolina, where there has been signs given above that altar, rainbow signs, if you will, peace signs. Actually, it was an inverted rainbow rather than an arch type. It was coming from, just looked like, out of around the throne of heaven. It was marvelous. We got pictures to prove it there at the altar in Andrews, North Carolina. So a lot of good things happen, and we're praying that you can come and join us. So make your plans now. Tonight we are in a very important subject. We are still in the question why. Why these certain things happen at certain times to certain people. Why did the walls of Jericho fall? Why did the sun stand still, and has it been proven in time and space that the sun actually stood still? Yes, it did. We know that NASA was trying to get the re-entry factors into the program of the computer back in the 60s, and they couldn't come up with the right figures until someone spoke up and said, well, that was a day in the Bible said that the sun stood still. And ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. When they factored in the factor that the sun was stayed, and they allowed for that, then in their computer program came out perfect. So, why? I don't know. Just because our Heavenly Father has got the power to actually do these marvelous things. Praise Yahweh. Well, we're going to talk about the aspects of meditation within the question of why. Why meditate? Why meditate? You know, meditation is a bad word in Christianity. They don't want you to even go near, touch, taste, or handle the word meditation. But does the Bible back up their claim that meditation is witchcraft? When you are told to seek the inward mind, as long as you're in the carnal mind, you go to the bell box and set that carnally and worship the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. Yeah, well, he gets his claws in you, ladies and gentlemen. Satan, if you want to know where a Santa came from, the word is very appropriate. You don't have to stretch your imagination too far to wonder or guess where that Santa Claus came from. And like I say, wait till he gets his claws in you. With tradition, it's hard to get away from it. It's marvelous when you break away and you don't have to fool these pagan days that they have set aside, little chocolate Easter bunnies and the little egg hunting apparatuses that they have, these little ceremonies that they get into, and then, of course, Estar, where they stand out and face the eastern star of the sun, and the practice of the ancient occult worship of the Estar. And that's where Estar came from, was from Estar. Well, if I've got time tonight, I would like to get into also, we started out in this question in the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus and the priest's clothes, and we got down to the girdle that was put on Aaron. Of course, there was a special breastplate made, and in this breastplate, they took stones and they wrote the names of six tribes on the left side and six of the names of the tribes on the right side. And this was over the breast of Aaron, the high priest. It's symbolic that in the bosom of the Father, that Jacob Israel will forever be etched in memorial into the mind and the spirit of Almighty God. Now let me repeat that. I get awesomely emotional when I think about these wonderful things, that as long as the sun and the moon endure, Israel will be a nation of people before him. Now, we know that he's intervened. He cut the days of Noah short, the first world. He punished the wicked. I told you that the Bible says he took the wicked and kept the good. Noah survived, and his two sons and their wives and Noah's wife, the eight souls that were secured, or the three sons and the three wives and Noah and his wife, it made a total of eight souls. They survived and remained. As it was in the days of Noah, and you know we've got these rapture theorists that are coming on strong, post-mid-trib, all these, I mean, they give you this false doctrine. They feed you. It sounds good. It tickles the ears. They can't wait to get out of here. And you know, just personally, between me and you, my brothers and sisters that's listening in to the Shepherd's Comment, I can't wait for them to get out of here either. Oh my, what a beautiful place if we could get rid of all these that wants to be raptured out. Maybe we could get about our Father's business and get down to the real nitty-gritty of serving him. But I'd like to have time tonight. I may have to carry it over until Monday to get into the birthstones and their place in the 12 tribes and what stone belongs to which one and the resonance of the energy that comes through them for the divine purposes of when you get on the altar. Now, like I said, if you want to see an old-fashioned altar in a salt cabinet, and you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I've never in my life heard of a salt cabinet. That sounds like it's witchcraft. Any time that salt is associated, we think about witches. Why? We've been stereotyped that if we use salt, that we must be evil. Well, what's the Bible say, Pastor Buddy? Well, the Bible says that the day will come that they will call good evil. Salt is good, unless it's lost its savor. And then it's fit for nothing, but that's another story where that depicts Israel. You see, you are called, looked upon, or typed in the scriptures in a metaphor as salt. Now, salt is white, and salt is right. And you are the salt of the earth if you belong to the Heavenly Father. Now, in this circle of salt, where you build an altar, you lay it out in the north, you face it north. This is why all the priests stood in the tabernacles north. Dan, the judgment tribe, this is the tribe that was picked out of all of the tribes. He was moved outside the circle of the heavenly family of the 13. Now, Levi was in the center, so he moves out of the center, and he moves up to the north, due north, as the directional purpose, as the Levitical priesthood pointing toward judgment. And the Bible said, God shall bring every secret thing into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be bad. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Well then when we go to east, west, north, and south, then we get the cardinal points of the position of the children of Israel, and they have birthstones. That's what it says here. Verse 6, six names on one stone, six names on the rest, and on the other stone according to their birth. Now, did they know exactly which stone belonged to which tribe or to which son? There are 12 stones mentioned in the Bible. And it is awesome. Now, it doesn't tell you which one belongs to which one. So therefore, what you have to do, if you notice here, that they shall set in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be the sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. Now, you got three stones to match the three tribes that were in the first settings of stones. Now, it doesn't say whether it's right or left, so you know we're going to have to do some discerning. The Bible said rightly dividing the scriptures. And the second row shall be the emerald, the sapphire, and the diamond. That takes care of six. Or is it left to right or right to left? If we had this in order, and then we could start in divine order in the heavenly circle, we might could figure all this out in time if we wanted to work on it. But who cares, you say? Don't matter. Well, it mattered to the Father. It mattered here in the book of Exodus. You say, Pastor Bill, that's in the Old Testament law. It's been fulfilled. Well, what if I can read it in the New Testament in the last book in the Bible? This is the second book I'm reading out of here, the book of Exodus. And I can read it in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. That these stones were, now they were changed a little bit in the book of Revelation, and there again is another story. I might just stay on this tonight and just give it to you, praise Yahweh. Or then I might just get back on the meditation. My mind is functioning between the two thoughts, and I might just combine the two and make it a two-hour series of the last of the question, why? Why these stones? Do stones really add any dimensions to the man to whom it's applied? Is there a spiritual reason? Or is there a connecting reason? Is there a resonance factor that's built in? Are we body electric? Do we give off certain vibes? You say, well, why are you doing that New Age, Pastor Buddy? Glory to God, I've been warned about you. Now I'm going to click you off here. If you get in too deep, I'll get off because you're in witchcraft. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'll repeat this again. I just wish, I would hope, would be a better word, that everybody could see the reality of the Bible. And that our Heavenly Father Himself is the greatest. He's the greatest astronomer. And oh, what an awesome astronomer He is. He's the greatest astrologer. What an awesome astrologer. You say, well, that's a dirty word. Well, I've been proved to you in the book of Daniel that Daniel was an astrologer. He was a chief astrologer. He was head of the astrology department in the great city of Babylon, then the known capital of the world, where that the tribe of Judah was in captivity for 70 years, and Daniel was sitting in the chief number two seat. He was above everything in Babylon, with the exception of the king. Everybody answered to Daniel. All the wise men, all the Senate, all the congressmen, just like it was in the days when Joseph, this other great astrologer and astronomer, if you don't believe it, read the book of Jasher. You say, oh, are you going to them old strange books again? Glory to God. Well, you know, I wonder why that the Bible mentions these books as books that are quoted from and referred to if they weren't supposed to have been included in the canonization of the Holy Writ. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been stripped down until we don't have much left. And what we do have left, people won't even believe, though you declare it to them. The third row is a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, a jasper, and these shall be set in gold in their enclosings. Now remember, they were hooked to a curious girdle, the Urim Thummim breastplate that the high priest rose and went into the Holiest of Holies. This is what he wore when he approached the center of a heavenly circle of the encampment, according to Numbers chapter 2, as they were placed in the heavens as positioned in the 12 constellations. Duh. Yeah, it gets complicated, doesn't it? Well, you see, that's why we don't get in it. Our church don't preach it. We don't believe it. We're told to watch preachers that do and to run like crazy. Well, you know, the blind will run from the evil will run when no one pursues them. Ain't nobody after you but the Word. And if the Word can't catch you and run you down and strip you of all your tradition, then you're in bad shape anyway. And full well, the Bible says, woe unto these Pharisees and scribes who get in the door, and they won't go in themselves and hinder those that would. Are you listening to me tonight, ladies and gentlemen? There is a block door of tradition. The block is tradition. Now, here it is that there were enclosings of these fourth row, 4 times 3 equals 12, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names. These stones shall be with according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Say, Pastor Buddy, you reading out of Bible? Yep. Now, verse 29, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the stones of the gold encased breastplate of judgment upon his heart. Now, if you want to get to the heart of God, remember the 12 tribes and your fathers from whence you were hewn. You have forgotten me, saith Yahweh. And how have we forgotten, they asked. He said, here's how he said it, you have forgotten my name for Baal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bell boxes, I call them bell box, everything with a steeple on it's a bell box. That's a phallus, that's a male sex symbol with the cross of the vagina, and Alexander Hyssop and the two Babylons, and other books will relate this to you if you just open your eyes and get real. I mean, if you want to sleep on Israel, take your rest and perish for the lack of knowledge. If you want to really get into the breastplates and the change at the ends of the wreath and work of pure gold to bear this, now listen, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before Yahweh continuously. Now let me read that again. I don't know what continuously means other than it's continuously. Continue. Oh, but yeah, Pastor Buddy. But see, when we got over to the New Testament, glory to God, God took all this out of the way and nailed it to his cross. And now we can eat pigs and we can eat shellfish and we can eat lobsters and crows and blizzards and anything you can eat. You can eat anything. There's nothing unclean anymore. Glory to God. God cleaned up everything. And he's done away with everything. I don't understand this now. Wait a minute. Now, God cleaned up everything for us to eat in the New Testament, but done away with everything in the Old Testament. Yeah, that's right, Pastor Buddy. Yeah, it's a little confusing, but you see, you need to come hear a preacher preach. He can explain it to you real good. I don't know where it's at in the Bible, but he does. I heard him talk about it. And glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you say, Pastor Buddy, you're just being facetious. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I have a right to be facetious here at this point, because the time is now when they call good evil and evil good. It is the reverse osmosis of truth. They have no inkling of what the Heavenly Father said, Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before me forever. Forever. Now, let me show you something in the New Testament. As we look in the New Testament of the book of Revelation, did you know that there are stones mentioned in the Bible? In the book of Revelations? Did you know that they're there for you and that the 12 tribes are there in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations? Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah, of the tribe of Reuben, of the tribe of Gad, and these three were in a row, so we don't have any problem when we get the stones in order here, a little here and a little there. We could figure this out if we wanted to, but you say, well, it don't matter anyway, so I'm not going to worry with it. You know, I just ain't got time. I've got my doppelganger, you know, I got to work on it and think. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we would give ourselves to study and obedience, how wonderful this planet could be if we would just submit to the foolish things of Yahweh. Oh, the golf is much more wise. You gotta be good to play golf. Ah, but you gotta watch them big fullbacks, boy. They have to discipline themselves to run through the holes and the guards and the blocking backs and the quarterbacks and all this football game. And they pay you millions of dollars if you're good at it. You can be good at the Bible and be as poor as a whippoorwill, like my old dad taught me, in the Tennessee Hills. You know how poor a whippoorwill is in East Tennessee Mountain? He's poor. The more you study in the Bible, the more that you preach, and the more truth you reveal, the more you're rejected, the more you're hated, the more you're despised by the demonic demons of Israel. Now, let me repeat that in case you missed it. Demons of Israel? Mm-hmm. Your foes will be foes of your own house, house of Israel. Your enemies will be foes of the house of Israel. That's the ones that'll do you in, ladies and gentlemen. David said, I took sweet counsel with them, my brother, and walked in the house, and they did me in. I'm Pastor Buddy. I'm coming back with the stones of Israel. We're going to teach a little bit about meditation at that time. So you come on back, dig into the Word. If you are a Word seeker, we'll give you the Word. Praise Yahweh. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. I'm glad to have you in here with us tonight on the Bible study. We're talking about the stones and their ability to enhance your spiritual walk with the Father and how to build, we're building up to this, how to build the altar and place these in position to where the Father can recognize a memorial before him forever. Now, you are now in the place of Aaron. You are the high priest. You are a Melchizedek high priest, if so be that you have gone through the initiation or the rituals to make yourself a Melchizedek high priest. Remember, God swore, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Moses said, I would, he didn't say that they were, but he said, I wish that you were all priests. because they got the number and they was jealous. They wanted, well, this is down here worshiping Yahweh, and we didn't give him permission to. Moses said, I wish all of you were high priests. And so he was looking forward to the day that the seal of the covenant of the altar within the framework of the stones set to enhance your ability to worship Yahweh. And when he sees you in these rituals, they become realities to him, because everything is done here is done up there. I'm going to prove that to you. I'm in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations, from between the 5th and the 8th verses, and it gives you the 3 tribes. I just gave you 3, Judah, Reuben, and Gad, Asher, Naphtali, and Manasseh, Simeon, a Levite, and Issachar. There's Levite. See, he's in the tribes here. He wasn't in the tribes in Numbers chapter 2. The Levite is not listed as a tribe. How come he's a tribe now in the book of Revelations, and Dan is not in here? I don't see Dan in here between verses 5 and 8 of the 7. And do you know why he's not in there? You say, well, it don't matter, Pastor Buddy. We don't have to know that. I just got to remember when Halloween comes so I can put on my funny face and run, and I can get all the candy I want. Ladies and gentlemen, they know when Easter comes, they know when Christmas comes, they know when Halloween comes. That's your bell box mentality, and that's about all they know. 90%, if they did a survey, that 90% of the quote-unquote average Christians don't even know what the First Amendment is. Couldn't quote it. Well, worst. If we ain't in a sad state of mind, if we ain't in a sad state of repair, I mean, we need fixing. And the only thing that's going to fix us is return back to the old path and begin. If the fire fell under the covenant that Moses was describing here, when Solomon built the temple and the glory of God filled the house to drive them out, they couldn't stand the minister in the presence. When he came down upon the altar, David called the angels down to stop the slaughter as he hurriedly ran down in there. And why did David have to build an altar to stay the hand of God? You say, well, we don't have to do that now, Pastor Buddy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it worked for them. And we've done away with what worked for them to trade it for what don't work for us. And I believe somebody's got cheated in the exchange, and I know who cheated us. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's killed all of our faith in the Israelite traditions. He's made us the tail and not the head. He stole every truth and turned it over to the wicked and the children of darkness, which are wiser than the children of light, and he's killed all of the Aryan white race upon the earth, and he's working on the 750 million that's left upon the planet. Only 750 million. You say, well, good God, Pastor Buddy, that's a whole lot of us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you compare that against the 8 billion, 750 million is just a little dip. Right around 15% fast fading. We'll give you the statistics later on next week as I get into the teachings of why that we are at the point of reaching no return. When I say that, I mean that the scriptures will be fulfilled, and I know it's coming. The Bible says that except he shorten them days, there will be no flesh of Israel saved or the white race. They are the descendants, the Caucasian race of the man named Noah and Shem. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a sad state of repair of the tribe of Simeon, Levite, Issachar, and verse 8 of the tribe of Zebulun, Joseph, and Binyamin. Right, these are the 12 tribes, and Dan is not in there. Where did Dan go? He's in the tribal arrangement in Numbers chapter 2. If you go and look and study, you'll see that Dan's missing here in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. Where did he go to? Well, we know where he went genetically and geographically. He went north to Dan Mark. Those wonderful, beautiful sons of Dan, the pioneers of Dan, awesome, awesome. Their judgment, you can look in their eyes and see that the fear of the Almighty Yahweh is built right into the mirror of their soul. The judgment of God will come through Dan. He's the judgment. That's why he was taken out and put in the 12 at the top for judgment. It's 12 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. It's high noon. It's showdown time. And I can't say okay corral because I've got the critics that don't want me to be a gunfighter. They don't want me to use the sword. If I get, you know, I get up here with boldness and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to fill my mouth, and we've got these critics that says, oh, you shouldn't bash other preachers. Well, I guarantee you one thing, Elijah bashed them. And it's coming a bashing day. Yahweh will bash them against the stones and destroy everything that don't walk in the realm of the Spirit. Now that we've got the tribes, the 12 tribes positioned just like we want them here in the 7th chapter, let's go over to the 21st chapter and see if we can get some matching stones in the 12 foundations. Now, let me give you the 11th verse. Oh, my, I wish I had time. Let me give you the 9th. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the 7 lice plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up here, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Go show us the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb's wife? It's Israel. Jacob Israel. Israel, his chosen bride. And he carried me away in the spirit, and to showed me a great high mountain, and he showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, not unholy Jerusalem. Oh, that little geographical spot over there where they said, oh, that's a holy place now. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to give you a scripture one of these days. If I ever get around to reading, I'm going to show you it's not a holy place according to the scriptures. It's called Sodom, the place where our Messiah was crucified. That's what they described it as. In the Bible writers, but here's the holy city, descending out of heaven from God. Now, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Remember, I gave you that scripture last night? Can you get with me here on this program? Having the glory of God and her light was likened to a stone most precious. What are we talking about tonight, Pastor Buddy? We're talking about stones. Meditate on these things. I want to teach you how to meditate, but let me give you the reason you need to meditate, and then maybe perhaps if the Spirit will move on me, I'll come back and give you the meditation. He showed me a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. Oh, my. Boy, that's a precious stone. A jasper stone? Who is the jasper stone in the Bible? Well, duh. It just happens to be out of the birthright tribe of Rachel, and old Benjamin has the jasper stone. Now, why would Benjamin have the jasper stone? Because everyone that the Messiah chose when he came to the sandbox 2,000 years ago, everyone with the exception of one was a Benjamite. A light warrior. These Benjamites are awesome. Man, if they know their potential, if they could just humble themselves before the mighty Yah and become the lights of instruments of light that they are. The jasper stone, if you'll notice here, is the first stone right out of the gate. And these 12, this precious stone, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Mama. What a stone! No wonder these were the lights of the resonant gospel flames of fire that went out and preached the gospel, the 12 apostolic fathers. Remember one fellow, his name was Judah. He was a Canaanite serpent, a devil from the very beginning. I told you, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil will get right in the house if you let him. Well, here's Jasper of Benjamin. That's why he's there, ladies and gentlemen. There's a reason why that Benjamin is the Jasper Stone. It's because that he's the first stone written into the program, and Yahweh gave them the distinction of being precious as the Jasper Stone because he used the sons of Binyamin. 11 of them. Oh, my. And 11 was the number of Joseph, the other son of Rachel. And now we've got something going here. And, boy, we could go a long way with that one tonight. Praise the Heavenly Father for Binyamin and Joseph, the headship company of Mighty Ones, Yahweh. Verse 12. Isn't that strange? 21, 12. 21 is 3. And 12 is 3. And 3 is the building blocks of the foundation of the universe. There are 3 things that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are 1. 3 things that bear record in the earth, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And these agree in 1. And here we've got 21, which equals 3, and 12, which equals 3 in the book of Revelation. Pastor Buddy, it don't matter now. Well, honey, if you go to that city up there and you go through the gate that you're destined to go through, you should know what gate you're going through. You should know where you're going. And if you'll practice it here, you will have no trouble over there. If you will believe it here, you can believe it over there. And if you keep it over here, you can keep it over there. But you're going to have gate trouble if you are one of those that say and do not. That's why we do it. Praise Yahweh. We don't play. We get right in there and build an old-fashioned altar, and we display the 12 stones in divine order, put the 13th stone, which is Dan, due north, and then we put a circle of salt around them. That's all it is. You can make it as, it don't have to look glamorous or amazing. Just take an old-fashioned pencil and write on the stones, the name of the tribes, and then when you step into that holy box, you're on holy ground, it's sanctified, and there you see your ancestors and your genetics and the resonance of the stones and the glory as you shout the great name of Yahweh, and you give praise and remembrance and memorial honor to the 12 original sons and the 12 apostles that built the foundation, praise Yahweh, in the city of heaven, and that which is a pattern above becomes a pattern below, and I'm telling you, from heaven to earth shall glory come. And then you play that old Amazing Grace with the Scottish Pipers from Scotland. Old Jim will step back there and give you that stereo sound from the great theme song of Jacob Israel, Amazing Grace. And the bagpipers will play it and they'll blow the trumpet. Praise Yahweh. Hope we'll have a live trumpet player over there that can give it to you live. If not, we can pipe it to you on a CD. But I'm telling you, when that's played, and when we look toward the north where our Heavenly Father sits in the thick darkness, the light of the glory of the Spirit connection, I mean, there is heaven come down, and glory fills the soul. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting happy here tonight. On the east, well, let me give you the verse 12. I'm jumping ahead of myself. And the great high wall, great high wall had 12 gates. Now, back up, buddy, we ain't no need of doing all this. Glory to God. Well, the Father did it. I didn't do it. He built a city up there that is 1,500 miles square as you measure. And this is an awesome place. I'm telling you, this is awesome. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of Jacob Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, if we could get our mind off the Twin Towers and get our mind on the great wall of heaven and look at it and marvel at it and begin to try to match whatever's here, there, and whatever's there, here, and get the pattern in our hearts here, we would have a glorious occasion. And we would be on our way to glory. Now, I gotta hurry. I'm just about out of time, and I just haven't covered a third of this like I wanted to. I wanted to give you the stones that are in. Maybe I can do this Monday. This is the third day of May. We're on Friday. We're live. And maybe we could do this Monday if you want to listen to the Shepherd's Call Monday. Maybe you can convince me. Call me. Tell me you want me to continue on this and you're enjoying the message. Let me know. Don't sit back there like a lazy bum. Get involved. Let me know where you're at. Let me hear from you. And let's get about our Father's business and go back to the old path. If you want to go to an old-fashioned altar service where we got the salt down in divine circles, where we got the 12 embedded stones in the earth, where the names of the 12 sons of Jacob are there, and we go around and we sprinkle salt and oil and incense upon these names and give them honor and heritage and remembrance from which we are hewn, that our genetics in us, we feel the vibration or the resonance as we approach the stones that has the holy name. And ladies and gentlemen, I preached enough on the stones and the names and how it's written and how they've done it on the altar service that you ought to know that it's glory, joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. On the great high wall, it had 12 gates, and the gates had 12 angels, and the names written thereon are the names of the 12 tribes, that is, of the children of Israel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you just practiced and found out who's who and where's where and what's what down here on an altar? Let's practice here. Let's do it here. And then when we get up back, you're going to see what old Pastor Buddy's talking about. What's laid up for you? I'm giving you a visionary insight into what's laid up for them at Love and Serving. Oh my, it's wonderful. The names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel are written on the 12 gates. That's why you build an altar with 12 stones, ladies and gentlemen. Right from my tape on how to build an altar, you'll be surprised how much Bible there is about it. Verse 13. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. Now, isn't that awesome? And it's on the 13th verse with the 13 tribes, and here we've got the three, and Dan outside makes 13, and they put it in the 13th verse. Somebody's trying to tell you something, and a numerical order here with a little divine intervention to make sure they get it right. Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. My, it had 12 foundations. Have you ever seen a wall or a city like that? And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Woo! Praise the Father. Hallelujah. Man, it makes me want to be on the altar right now and in my robe and with my sword and with the salt covenant and all the brothers and sisters and the mighty pipes of Scotland playing in the distance, and me raising my sword to the heavens and saluting the King of Kings as a son entering in boldly to the throne to sit with him in the throne as the Melchizedek priest. Oh, hallelujah. He thought it not robbery to be equal with him, and if you want to be equal with him, come to the altar and present yourself as a Melchizedek priest. You'll never be one till you're initiated and made one. You got to swear in the great name of Yahweh. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to quit this. I'm running out of time. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I just hate to quit. I'm just so worked up in the joy of the Spirit to minister to you. I've enjoyed being with you tonight on the Shepherd's Call. This is glorious, and it's wonderful. And if you'd like to know more about it, simply call me tonight. Let me hear from you. Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to write me and converse with me, I'll write you back. I'll send you some information. I'll send you some free literature. It won't cost you a dime. If you'd like to have a color copy of the chart that we have made for the 12 tribes and the stones and the position. I'll get on it maybe perhaps Monday night. I'll go into it and show you where all the stones are positioned in water order and things of this nature, if spirit's willing. I don't know until the time comes what I'm going to minister on. So if the spirit's willing, I will be willing to do that. But if you'd like to know more about it, just write Pastor Buddy and ask for a free color copy. I'll send it to you free. If you can't send me some money for it, that's fine. I'd like for you to have it anyway, praise Yahweh. So if you'd like to have it, just write Pastor Buddy or email Pastor Buddy or call Pastor Buddy. That's all you got to do. But you better take time out to find your position in the breastplate of the Heavenly Father and know who you are and from where you're in and what your directions are for going back to the city that is 1,500 miles square, street of pure gold, where the walls are pure jasper, clear as crystal, and the 12 foundations with the 12 names of Israel and the 12 apostles, and you included as a Melchizedek priest, with the permission to enter in, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over many. For this cause, I will bow my knee to my Heavenly Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And ladies and gentlemen, it ain't Jesus. His name was never Jesus. That's a Greek Latin name, Jesus. His name is wonderful. Praise him in his most glorious, magnanimous name, Yah. Himalaya, Sequoia, Hallelujah, praise be to Yah, praise his great name. No wonder we're happy. No wonder we're having a joyful time with you tonight. I got to get out of here. My time is gone. I've enjoyed being with you, Jacob Israel. And remember, the city that's set on a hill can't be here. So come out tonight and worship the King and his duty. Praise Yahweh. You'll see you Monday night on Truth Radio. Remember, we'll also be on WWCR Sunday night at 6 Eastern Standard Time.
It's a Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio station. Praise Yahweh.